With that, we are ready to proceed with the last matter on our calendar. It is set for 12:40, so I'm hoping counsel are here. It looks like we've got you. Is that Mr. Price?
Andrew Davis, Your Honor.
You're Andrew Davis. Would you, I know Mr. Swihart is here because he's already argued two cases before. Can I indulge, would you indulge me and just check out in the lobby and see? Thank you, especially since we're a little early. Thank you. Rain is holding up.
I know. I hope it's not waiting for us. It's done for a while. It's a lot lighter out than it was.
It is a lot lighter.
Yeah. I actually had to put on I wear glasses just when I drive at night for the distance. And I had to put them on this morning.
It was dark. It was very dark.
Oh, we are early 12:40. That's a good thing.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no apologies needed. We are early. I appreciate you just hanging in there with us all day. So take your time. Don't feel in any rush at all. I will just call the case and start with the preliminaries. So for 1240, our last matter on our calendar today is A190596. That is State of Minnesota Appellant versus Matthew William Voss Respondent. And I see that counsel are seated at table. And the court is ready to listen to your argument. You've already heard me introduce it a couple of times. For Mr. Davis's benefit, I just want you to know, take whatever time you need to get comfortable at the podium when it's your turn. And do keep an eye on the clock because it tends to go quickly with these arguments. So with that, counsel for the state, you can begin when you're ready.
May it please the court, counsel, Terrence Swihart, Assistant Rice County Attorney on behalf of appellant. This case is a straightforward issue of determining whether the officer's approaching of a stopped vehicle amounts to a seizure. Two areas, preliminary areas, that I hope are not at issue is really the critical impact and whether this court has the jurisdiction to hear this appeal. And I believe that based on the case law that and the district court's dismissal of the charge, that dismissal amounts to critical impact of our case. And so therefore, I believe that there is jurisdiction for this court to hear this appeal. I'm not going to focus on that at all. In this case, the district court held that the Lonsdale police officer's activation of his emergency lights behind respondents stopped a motor vehicle amounted to a seizure. The district court cited State v. Hansen as really the seminal authority on this matter, but then dismissed that case and instead relied on State v. Lopez to support the district court's position that, in fact, this was a seizure. I don't believe, because the record is what it is, you have two exhibits, the police report, the squad video, and then the officer's testimony, that there is really any dispute regarding the underlying facts of this case. And as a result, this court reviews the district court's decision as de novo. So in other words, what this court determines whether this was a seizure under applicable case law.
But when we're looking at that on a de novo review and we're assessing, what the reasonable person would believe, isn't pulling up behind a person's car and turning on emergency lights a show of authority, which a reasonable person would believe they couldn't ignore?
Right.
Let me just kind of do my second part, because I could just see, maybe things are different in Rice County, but I could just see, a charge coming of someone's fleeing a police officer if they just thought, oh, there's a police pulled up behind me with flashing red lights, and I left.
Right. And, you know, just from a personal standpoint, just as much as yours is a personal, I personally would think the same thing. But this case, there's case law that says otherwise. So as a result
of that. So you and I aren't the reasonable people?
No. Well, I would say I am. My wife, maybe not. But I think in this case that we have, why is that not the case? Because State v. Hansen says so. And State v. Hansen, that was a case where you have a vehicle stopped on the high on this along a highway. Police pull up behind it and activate their emergency lights. And the court held a reasonable person would just assume that they're stopping to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think this case is similar to Hansen. Again, if you, the squad video illustrates that this was a dark highway. It was outside of Lonsdale. And the district court, in its order, and I kind of bring the district court to task on this, says in its order that it's on the quiet streets outside Lonsdale. Well, there's no indication that these are the quiet streets outside Lonsdale. What we have is the squad video showing this is a dark street. This is a dark roadway. Whether it's a highway or not, it's two-lane highway with double yellow lines. Looks fairly wide, and he turns in to a side road, and right there, as soon as he turns in, is the vehicle. And I don't know if it's a dirt road or what, but it appears dirt, and the car is right there.
And there's no lights on the stopped vehicle.
There's no lights.
It's just in the dark. And it's a dark and stormy night, because weren't other officers dealing with a tornado in a neighboring county?
Yes, and the Lonsdale police officer says the reason I'm there is because the sheriff's department is off helping with tornadoes and other storm damage, so arguably, this is not the quiet streets of Lonsdale. This is actually on the county because this is the county jurisdiction that Lonsdale is assisting with. So this is a darkened roadway, if not a highway. It depends on what you want to call a highway. But this is a long stretch of roadway. He turns right into the off road and immediately activates his emergency lights. At that point, so there's 2 points here. One is this is still not a seizure because under Hansen allows him to do this, even though it's not a highway, or, you know, technically a highway, it's still off the highway. And I would argue that in Hansen, they're notifying other motorists that there's that, in other words, it's for officer safety that, you know, I'm activating my lights not only so people know that I'm here. That's important in this area of where he's pulled over because, if anything, someone who's turning right or left, if you look at that squad video, without any activated emergency lights, there's a high probability, perhaps, I mean, I'm, of course, surmising, that there could be an accident because that's not too far off of the roadway. So the officer activates his emergency lights.
Well, why wouldn't that officer just be able to pull over, leaving the squad car's lights on? Why isn't that the presence of the car parked behind with just the lights on sufficient to notify oncoming travelers that there were stopped vehicles there?
I think, in that case, Your Honor, I think just the lights themselves don't emit, I mean, just from thinking from our own experience, the law enforcement's lights, I mean, they're all over the place. Headlights are straight, illuminated forward. Everything's on the police car, so whatever the floodlights that they have is only illuminating the car, whereas the police lights themselves are all over, which would identify for motorists turning out of that roadway that I'm here, I'm pulling over this individual to see what's going on. And the case law provides also that that law enforcement actually has a duty to, has a right but a duty to make sure that vehicles parked alongside the roadway are legally parked and to offer assistance that might be needed and to inquire of the physical condition of the persons in the vehicle. And if you watch that squad video, as soon as the officer pulls up and the gentleman opens the door, the officer, the first thing he says is, are you all right? It's not, let me see your license, your registration. It's not a stop. It's an inquiry into the condition of this individual and are you okay? The standard, this court then, under the totality, the de novo review, determines, based on the totality of the circumstances as applied to a reasonable person, whether a seizure has occurred. And in State v. Harris, this court applied the Mendenhall-Royer standard, which indicate that some of the circumstances that might indicate a seizure that has taken place is the threatening presence of several officers. In this case, there were several officers. There were two officers, but when I said before that there's two points here. One is, as soon as he pulls up to the police car, up to the the appellant's vehicle, I'm sorry, the respondent's vehicle, that's not a seizure. Under Hansen, when Mr. Voss opens the door, the officer indicates that at that time he's got bloodshot, watery eyes, he's not responding. Mm-hmm. At that time, he has reasonable suspicion that this individual is under the influence. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that then is a valid seizure. Once he opens the door and the officer identifies or observes indicia of intoxication, that's when a valid seizure occurs. So the seizure for the stop vehicle stops. So there's 2 points.
Or the non-seizure, as
the
you
non-seizure,
are.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes. The non-seizure stops when the door opens and the officer observes these indicia of intoxication. That's when a seizure occurs, not a valid seizure. A seizure occurs. The second officer arrives when that seizure occurs, when the door opens up. So what we're focusing on is were there threatening presence of multiple officers at the time before a seizure occurs, and there wasn't. If you look at that squad video, the second officer rolls around to behind the car and over to the passenger side after the door is open. Mm-hmm. So that is not a seizure. So that fact is not present in that Mendenhall-Royer standard. The other issue is, was there some physical touching of a person, of the person, or of the citizen? Not prior to being asked to come out of the car because of the indicia of intoxication. There wasn't that wasn't there.
So is it all different here because the officer testified that the individual in the car wasn't free to leave when he pulled up behind and put his emergency lights on?
Yes, and that was... I mean, as at first blush, you would say, okay, well, the officer believed when he pulled up that he wasn't free to leave. However, there's other cases. One is Crawford v. Commissioner of Public Safety, 441 Northwest 2nd, 837, which I cite in my brief, that in that case, the officer testified that she would have stopped the respondent if he had driven off, and that doesn't change the result. So in that case, the officer said, yeah, basically, similar to what this officer said, he wasn't free to leave. But the court there held that it doesn't really matter because he didn't drive off. So a seizure didn't occur. It's whether a seizure occurred. So whatever the officer's subjective intent is really irrelevant to this case. It's similar to the district court's reasoning was, well, if Mr. Voss had driven off, he would have been facing other charges, a felony fleeing or other charges. That didn't happen. So to say that I'm going to base my decision on what could have happened is... I would say clearly erroneous, but it's a de novo review, so it's not valid reasoning for dismissing the offense, the charges. The court relied on State v. Lopez in this case, and primarily, I think, because Lopez occurred in a parking lot, and the court was reasoning that, well, this occurred on the quiet, which I don't agree with, but the court said the quiet roadway of Lonsdale. But in Lopez, there was more to it than just where the location was. It was that the officer partially blocked the defendant's car, pounded on the window, opened the car door, and then the individual got out. So there's more to it here. Those facts are not present here. The only thing that is arguably analogous to Lopez is that there were no cars around. But again, that's in Hansen, where it's on a highway, and the officer's lights were appropriate. Other seizures that kind of mirror Lopez all have similar circumstances where, for example, State v. Lopez partially blocked the vehicle and State v. Sanger, the parking a squad car to box in a vehicle, honking its horns constitutes seizure. Klotz v. Commissioner of Public Safety where the officer partially blocked a vehicle. So these cases all have some common thread, which is blocking that vehicle to prevent the free movement, if you will, of the individual who was in the vehicle. This case did not happen here. Quite simply, this case is analogous to Hansen. The officer did have the right to approach that vehicle. The other Mendenhall Royer standards are the use of language or tone indicating compliance with the officer's request might be compelled. And that's, again, looking at the video, that's not the case. The officer opens the door and in a calm tone said, everything okay. It wasn't a demanding, stop where you are, don't move, don't get out of the car, stay where you are, none of that. And in addressing the Mendenhall and Warrior standard, in the case of E-Day-G, the court held that in the absence of some such evidence, the Mendenhall-Royer standards, otherwise inoffensive contact between a member of the public and the police cannot, as a matter of law, amount to a seizure of that person. So I take that to mean if those Mendenhall-Royer standards aren't met, then as a matter of law, it's not a seizure. So in this case, those standards were not met. The officer acted appropriately, consistent with Hansen, and the officer's subjective intent on whether he could or could not leave the Mr. Voss is really irrelevant because he didn't leave. Therefore, a seizure did not occur. The district court's order is in error, and I'd ask that this court reverse that district court's order and reinstate the charges. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court.
You need to give him some more time.
5 minutes more. There's not a whole lot of substance here. It's all right. Thank you. Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Andrew Davis. I'm here on behalf of the respondent in this case. I think this case comes down to very few, very important facts. First of all, the report from the concerned individual was of a suspicious vehicle. It wasn't a welfare check. They didn't even know someone was in the vehicle. It was just a suspicious vehicle, parked illegally on the side of the road. No reports of drugs or violence or drinking or anything. In fact, I'm not sure anyone knew that there was someone in the vehicle until the officer pulled up behind him and immediately turned his lights on. At that point, the officer concedes he was seized. He was no longer free to leave. He told...
Which we understand the subjective... I don't know if the officer used the word seized. I think he said that he couldn't go or right. He was stopped. But that subjective intent isn't the controlling fact, is it?
No, Your Honor, it's not. I understand what... I understand the importance of Hansen here. I believe in Hansen, it was on the side of a freeway, and this was not on the side of a freeway. And in Hansen, there was more to, it wasn't just a report of a suspicious vehicle parked. Vehicles without people in them can't commit crimes. It's differentiated from Hansen because it was not on a freeway, and there's the reason the officer even came there was a suspicious vehicle only, and together with the fact that he immediately turned his lights on, everybody involved agrees that he was not free to leave. I'm not sure.
How is that any different than Hansen? Was Hansen any more free to leave than your client?
Well,
I know you're saying the highway is different than the side of the county road, but I think in both cases you have cars that are already stopped, no lights on, no real understanding of what's going on, if anything, if there's anyone even in the car.
Right.
How is turning on the lights here any different than Hansen?
Because of the factors that drew the officer, the two together. In this case... There's no report of crime. There's no nobody has articulated anything.
But wouldn't that go to whether a seizure, if one did occur, was reasonable or not? We're not getting to that question, I don't think, in this case. This case turns on whether a seizure occurred.
It does. And I think the evidence points to the fact that it did. In fact, the officer agrees.
So your position is this case is more like Lopez than Hansen?
Yes.
So what do you say to the argument that your opponent made that Lopez can be distinguished because in that case the officer didn't just turn on the emergency lights but also blocked the vehicle? Basically, the way I interpreted it, reading Hansen together with Lopez, is that for it to be a seizure, there must be something in addition, an additional show of force, that merely turning on emergency lights isn't enough.
Well, I mean, when the emergency lights come on, you're no longer free to leave. And whether they physically drove in front of the car, I don't know that would differentiate it as far as whether it's a seizure or not. A marked squad car with an officer fully in uniform turns his lights on behind you, it means you need to stop.
So, and I understand exactly the exchange that happened earlier with appellant's counsel. I mean, we can have our own separate impressions of whether someone is free to leave or not based on, the facts in this case that an officer pulls up behind a parked vehicle and turns on the emergency lights. And we all might have the same reaction in this room. But this court has to follow the precedent set by the Minnesota Supreme Court in Hansen. So what do we do?
I understand. I think we follow Lopez. It physically blocking a car or an officer in a marked squad car turning the lights on, stopping a vehicle, is a seizure. And you cannot leave whether they're in front of you or behind you.
Does it matter that Lopez was in a parking lot where you didn't face the same issues of people coming up? You know, the reasonable assumption that you put on lights to warn the traveling public not, to get too close to the vehicles?
I mean, under the facts of this case, there was no other vehicles. I understand what you're saying, and I think legally parked on the side of a kind of rural road is pretty analogous to parking in a parking lot, especially when there is no cars in either case. And so, because I think the district court correctly followed Lopez, and I think that the facts are very similar, asking the court to, for all these reasons, follow the district court's suppression of all the fruits of Officer Schweigert's unreasonable and warrantless search, seizure and search. And uphold the ruling.
Anything else? Thank you, counsel. Mr. Swyert, you've got 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose.
Thank you. I just have one point. The respondent makes much about where the car was located, whether it's highway or the road. But I think the case law, State v. Fonuca, which I cite, and then also Kozak v. Commissioner of Public Safety, which I cite, all these cases suggest that it doesn't matter where the car is. If the car is parked legally in a parking lot, the officer can't approach it without it turning into a seizure. So the location is really irrelevant, ultimately, in a determination of whether a seizure occurred. It's in this case, it's clear that under Hansen, the seizure didn't occur. And if I have no more questions, then I would thank you for your time.
All right. And thanks to you. So with that, this matter is submitted to the court for its decision, and we will issue a decision within the statutory time frame. Thanks to counsel for the briefing on this issue and for the argument. Mr. Swyert, you've had quite a day, so congratulations to you. Three arguments in one day. So with that, this court is now in recess.